Imagine devoting your life to the study of something you'll hardly ever get to see. For particle physicists, this is probably a given, but you wouldn't think wildlife ecologists would have the same problem. Chris Allen is a Senior Threatened Species Officer with the New South Wales Office of Environment and Heritage. His Higgs boson is the koala population in the forests of Bermagui on the New South Wales far south coast. ABC Open contributor Indigo Wood joined Chris on a koala survey.
We're in Tanger State Forest on a fire trail. There's eight of us here, a couple of environmental science students. The majority of us are locals from this particular region. I've lived in this area almost all my life, and most of the locals are aware that there are koalas in this bit of forest. But it's only in recent years that we've had a clear picture of how many koalas are out here and where exactly they are. We're lucky to have an incredibly knowledgeable koala researcher living in this region. And today, we're helping out on a long-term survey.
My name's Chris Allen. I work with the Office of Environment and Heritage, and my job title is Senior Threatened Species Officer. But my main focus has been on koalas.
So, just describe for me the boundaries of the area that these surveys cover.
Essentially, it's between the Bermagui River to the north and the Bega River to the south. What I'll do is I'll mark this waypoint so we don't have any mistake about where we come back to.
The fire trail that we're on runs along the ridge, the top of a hill. It gets pretty steep. There's a few rocks around and a lot of fallen branches, so we have to be pretty careful where we put our feet.
Now, how are we doing? Is everybody all right? You got something itching?
I think it's bitten. Just an ant, I think.
Okay. Can you tuck those in?
I can, yes.
Just to share a little bit of history, the trigger for the surveys that commenced here in 2007 were a report from two young kurilates who were riding down here on bikes, and they saw a female with young go across this trail. And it really looks, you know, you look at this country and you think, my goodness me, no self-respecting koala would come near it because it is almost pure silvertop ash. But in fact, there's quite a diversity of species.
What is the significance, do you think, of this particular population of koalas?
Well, look, one thing to say about this population is that it is what we call a low-density population. The animals are widely scattered, with each animal having a large home range, which may be up to 50 hectares. The koala numbers might be low, but they extend over a very large area. And I suspect that this is a characteristic of many koala populations. And these koalas are clearly using this kind of habitat in a very sophisticated way.
I'm Victoria Reid and I live here in Wappingo.
What's your interest in this koala program?
Oh, well, they've had a rough past and a rough current life, and they need someone to think about them and do everything they can to help sustain their numbers. I haven't seen a koala around here. My neighbour has heard them, and I've certainly seen some scats, but I've never seen a wild koala up a tree.
Well, I grew up in this region and neither have I, so there you go.
I'm Pauline Mendes. I'm a local resident. I live in Tanger.
How long have you been here?
I've lived in the area for over 25 years.
Have you ever seen a koala?
No, I haven't.
Look, we hardly ever see koalas. Let's be clear about this. In these forests, being the coastal forests, probably in the past 15 years, I've seen maybe 7 or 8 koalas. So very, very few.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this.
Straight away.
How about that?
Wow.
Fresh ass. So, this is brilliant, this pellet. Just brilliant.
Is another one? Or is
it? Yeah.
So just describe for me what you've got in your hand.
Okay, well, we've got two koala pellets here. They're an olive green colour, shaped actually like a large olive pip. The distinctive characteristics of koala pellets is the longitudinal ridgelines.
So fairly fresh. How long ago do you reckon the koala's been around?
These would be probably only 3 or 4 days old at most. Actually, that one there looks quite fresh. So the koala would have climbed up, and often as they're climbing up, they'll drop a pellet or two. Okay. So we mark this. We mark every location where we find pellets.
Okay, so we just found 5 pellets under a tree as we were walking through the bush. But the one thing that keeps getting hammered home here is that this survey has to be unbiased, which means we can only measure the activity of the koalas inside specific survey zones, which are dictated by grid lines on a map. Those particular pellets were under a tree literally just outside one of our survey sites, so they won't be included in this particular survey. But it is a pretty cool way to kick things off.
Basically, we have now come to our location that's on the map. What we do here is we establish a centre tree, and our survey site is what we call a radial plot. Our first task is to select 30 trees, and the only criteria we use are that the trees are alive and that they are over 150 millimetres diameter at breast height. And so we work up sequentially to 30 trees.
My name's Carly, and I've helped out with Chris and his team for the past year or so.
But what are you actually up to with the tape and the trees?
Oh, I'm checking for any trees that are above 150 mils diameter breast height, and then marking them with the flagging tape. And you call out the number so we know when we've got up to 30 trees. But before we mark them, we've got to look up, check they're alive. That's a big one.
Hello? 19, thank you very much.
20, 21. You reckon this tree's actually alive?
Oh, God. Okay.
It's like died out at the top and then regrown.
Oh. Unless, that could be a vine.
You kidding?
Because a lot of the leaves I'm seeing are from this tree. Yeah.
That's the last one, Kylie.
I work on my hands and knees, but people may want to squat. It's quite a lot of bending over here. You just need to watch your back. So this technique is used across much of the koala range now. There are people scratching around in the bush like this all over the joint.
Just describe for me what you're up to right now.
Yeah, hi, I'm Norm. I'm working close to the trunk of the tree because that's where most of it droppings tend to be. We just don't have time to scratch through the litter for many metres from a tree, so basically it's just 1 metre round, and we've covered 50% of the probability of finding some sort of marking of a koala. We can't see any koalas here, but the droppings are always there, so if we can find them, we can build up a picture of where they are, where they're moving.
This survey method that we use, it's a relatively non-intrusive method. And that's really, really important. You know, we don't have to haul the animals out of trees and stick collars on them and stuff like that. We can also get the DNA from the population. We can also tell whether there's mother and young around, understanding what they're feeding, the social dynamics. The difficulty is that it is resource hungry. We've done up to 600 locations through the forest. 18,000 trees searched for koala pellets. That's a lot of trees.
So how are your knees after all that?
Oh, look, my knees are still pretty good, really. So far, so good.
This looks like wallaby to me.
I've got a wombat, I think.
Should we get excited? What have you found, Carly?
Not excited. And look, it's fairly fine on the inside like a koala poo, but the outside's very grassy. So I'd say it's a bit of wallaby poo, unfortunately.
It's got to be the only thing you do in the world where you get excited about finding poo.
Totally.
Even if you're the best searcher in the world, you're likely to miss them if there's a lot of dense undergrowth, just because you can't scratch around as easily. And sometimes, like in the draw, you can be so focused, but you accidentally move a leaf that's got a koala pellet curled up in it. Or, yeah, it's just one of those things.
So how many searches do you reckon you would go without finding anything?
I think Chris said it's roughly one in five plots. It does depend on the area. Other days you strike it lucky and every plot you go to has some, so it's so variable.
Last tree for the plot, girls. Any luck?
Oh, not yet. Never say never.
That's it. Every now and then a pellet has been found on the last tree.
The last tree, yes, it has happened.
So we've been in the bush for about 4 hours now. We've surveyed two sites and had no luck whatsoever. It really does say something, I guess, about the dedication of the guys who come out here looking for these pellets. So, Chris, it's kind of amazing to think that you've built this incredibly detailed data set for koala populations, and all the information that you've gathered was on your hands and knees looking for their poo.
Look, I mean, there's no question in my mind that the method that we use is a fantastically informative way of learning about koalas. And, okay, so the focus is koala poo, but the ramifications of the work is just so big. The science behind it, the understanding of a koala ecology, understanding of the animal, all those things flow from that. I just regard it as an amazing privilege to be involved in this work. So, it's a great part of my life.
Chris Allen speaking with ABC Open contributor Indigo Wood. That story produced by Vanessa Milton.